Welcome to episode 168 of the Better With Running podcast. My name's Chris Armstrong. I owe Glenn Maxwell a public apology. And I'm joined, as always, by fellow Run to BB coach and working from home enthusiast, Zach and Newman. How's things, mate?
Yes, good. Things are really good, mate. Yes, I'm a big fan of working from home and very, very happy with the flexibility. Why do you owe Glenn Maxwell a public apology? Did you give him a bake last week?
No, I just thought that him playing one day cricket still for Australia is a waste of time, and he's turned out he's gone out overnight and just probably played arguably the greatest one day international innings of all time, coming well with Australia at 7 for 90 and then just peeling off an unbeaten 200.
Yeah.
With Paddy Cummins just standing at the other end, knocking them around. And yeah, I mean, Maxwell being unable to run, literally reduced to just standing there and just playing absurd cricket shots. But I feel sorry for all the dads out there who now have to go and try and tell their kids that they still need to have a technique and to watch the ball. And yeah, you can't just hit across the line. So, but no, I don't know. I've never been someone who's believed that Glenn Maxwell was ever any good, and I nearly dropped my phone this morning when I saw what he'd done. And just given the circumstances and the state of the game, like it's just an absolutely incredible effort. So, yeah, I know, like even my younger brother would have been disgusted when he saw that this morning, because he's very much similar. But yeah, just incredible. I don't know if you've seen any of the highlights, mate, but yeah, it's mind-blowing. What he pulled off last night against Afghanistan. And people might laugh, they go, oh, it's just Afghanistan. They're actually really good. They're a really good cricket nation. They don't get enough love. So
Still
yeah.
better than the Poms.
Well, mate, their stone mother is last, literally last behind Netherlands, Bangladesh. They haven't even qualified for the Champions Trophy, which I believe only takes the top 8 teams from the World Cup. So look, England just gonna have to get better. I know we have a few English listeners. Sorry, they've been terrible.
Wait, and this is a running podcast, but
Well, allegedly.
just to confirm that. But just one other thing on the cricket, because friend of the show, Run to BB athlete, he's on a bit of a pause at the moment. Dilruk Jayasuriya, who he's a comedian. A few people would have seen him at some comedy shows. He's on a couple of TV shows. Oh God, the name escapes me. But Utopia.
Ah, yep.
Yeah, you would have seen him on there. But he's over in just a little another cricket anecdote. He's over in, and if you follow him on Instagram, he did a pretty funny reel because he's over, I think he's in Mumbai at the moment, and he was in stuck in traffic, and crazy Indian traffic. And his driver was had the cricket on in the cab and was on his phone as he's driving on the phone watching Glenn Maxwell spank it around. And Dilruk just was in the back, just holding on for dear life, thinking. And I think he has actually had some heart issues in the past. He said, yeah, could be on for another heart attack. Yeah. But if anyone does follow Dilruk, it is he's funny. And hopefully we're getting back rolling again. He's obviously a busy man doing comedy tours and all the rest of it, but we'll get him back. He usually gets motivated for summer, and then we'll have a crack at another 5K.
He'd be a good one to tie down for an interview if we can get him.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, another cricket fan, Benji Hoppett, who past guest of the show. He actually reached out. We're going to catch up for a run soon. So he's out. Unfortunately, he couldn't line up. He's down here for some the women's cricket. And yeah, in town, calendars didn't line up this time. But yeah, Benji's rolling, mate. He's back on the horse after Sydney, and yeah, getting going again. So looking forward to a few runs with him. So
Mate, you might make Benji's TikTok channel.
that's the goal, mate. That's the Mate, big show. We're not
Big
gonna
show.
yeah. Last week was big. Two guests. bit of great feedback. I know Nathan, mate, the number of messages I got about Nathan's story, which is, yeah, quite remarkable. Young fella who's just, yeah, really inspiring, I think, for the way he's sort of gone about his health challenges. And yeah, just that marathon was so cool to see and to hear the background. And like we mentioned last week, just seeing a name and a results or an Instagram post doesn't give you the context to what these guys are, what these stories are. And Nora, did she get a bit of feedback, bit of a ribbing at the training?
No, there were a few people. She had a lot of people from the Shep Runners Club come up and say how they had a listen and they enjoyed it. And I guess there's people that have probably only known Nora the last couple of years and they've just assumed that she's always been a runner and done it forever. So, yeah, they found it really interesting to hear that, you know, she's really had to work quite hard and that she struggled for years at it. So, no, it was really cool. I think she was a bit blown away that people would, go out of their way to listen to what she had to say. But, no, it's been really cool. And even just back on Nathan as well, it's just a bloody brilliant story of resilience and putting yourself outside your comfort zone. What he's been able to achieve in these last couple of years is remarkable. So I just hope running something that he sticks at and loves, because it'd be really cool to continue to follow his journey over the next few years as well.
Yeah, it's going to be really cool to follow this along. We'll get him back on for an update. Hey, mate, we've got we've got a coach coming on. We've got Jack Davies. He's runs BB coach. Haven't had him on for a while, but some really interesting developments with his running. He's moved up distances. He's debuted over the marathon. So Melbourne Marathon, we're going to get a breakdown of how that all went for him. And also, yeah, catch up on just how he's been going with his athletes. So he's been coaching for a while with us. So a lot of improvements and I guess learnings as a coach, as we always sort of like to hear from our coaches.
No, it'd be good to hear from Jack. I think the last time he was on might have been when he co-hosted with Josh Harris.
Yes.
Which was many moons ago. So that would be good to catch up. He's been very busy. So
he's a busy man. Hey, mate, before we get there, because he's not far off, quick update on your training. Mm. You've looked like you've rolled out some pretty solid weeks over the last, I'm looking back, maybe the last 6 weeks, you've hit 85K sort of weeks.
Yeah, no, it's been pretty good. So probably about 6 weeks ago, I had a chat with Andy and we just wanted to try and bump the Ks up just a little bit, see how the body was handling that. And it's worked out really well. So over the last six, averaging 85, sort of a low of 82 and a top of 90. It sounds like a bit of a weather report if you're in America and you're dealing Fahrenheit. But but no, just those consistent weeks, same as what we've been doing. Not too many changes other than that the long runs lengthened out to about 2 hours, where it was probably around an hour 40. So that's been good, all going well. And the sessions, probably like during cross country, it was more like K reps, longer thresholds, that sort of thing. Working towards track at the moment, it's a series of, 1600 and 400 meter repeats for the most part. Had a 10K tempo a couple of weeks ago, which went really well. And that was just to throw a bit of extra strength in and mix things up a bit. But all in all, I don't think anything that I've done's been impressive over the last month and a half, but hopefully it's a big tick for the sum of the parts all put together. It's, nothing you sort of look at and go, wow, that was a really good session, or geez, that long run really clicked. Like, it's just been getting it done. And probably I've felt the fatigue over the last 10 days or so. I've had the rest days will be on a Friday, but decided to push that to Sunday, but then double up with another rest day today. Almost like a mini recovery week.
Mm.
And then we'll have sort of another 10 solid days before we freshen up a little bit for the first of my 3K races that I'm going to do before the end of the year. So, yeah, no, pretty happy with how it's all going.
Yeah, mate, it's exciting. You're going to lace up for these 3K, a couple of track races. You've been in the spikes yet, or how are you tracking on that? front.
Yeah, no spikes as yet. They are clean from cross country. They're sitting there ready to be worn. But I think the first race I'll probably do in a set of Vaporflies on the track, just to be a little bit cautious, to go and knock some of the rust off. I'm just carrying a bit, probably a bit more fatigue than I normally would. So given that it's just a rust buster, I'll probably stay away from the spikes for the first race. And then because I don't think the volume will be quite as high, because the second race that I'm going to do will only be about 3 weeks after the first one.
Yeah.
So hopefully I can get into the spikes for that one and just compare, see if there's much difference and see how I pull up and, yeah, go from there.
Nice. And did you do a 3 last year, 3K last year?
No, not last. The year before I did.
Yeah.
But yeah, last year coming off the marathon, the body wasn't, I would argue that probably the body still wasn't all that great through to February last year. So no, I wasn't really in any capacity. Even doing the 10K at Wellness Run last year was a bit of a battle. So yeah, no 3K. So it'll be interesting to get back into that real short, uncomfortable stuff. But I'm really looking forward to it, actually. So Andy and Ben Stoltz over in Bendigo, they've organised basically like a glorified BATS training session for a couple of Tuesday nights there, where we'll get in and do a 3K race. So going to jump in with, I think the first one they did was last week, last Tuesday, and had the best part of 20 or 25 guys go around. And yeah, hopefully I can get in there and get dragged around, have a decent hit out, and yeah, see where the fitness is at.
It'll be good just to get, and I know I talked to a number of my athletes about, yes, you can get into training blocks and you do a lot of training, but to get into a race mode, it's a different feeling and you work different. Mentally, it's tougher. So it's good practice in that sense, you know, getting ready, having a set time when you have to do your warm up and you don't mess around and you do a few extra strides. It's like, no, the race starts at 8 o'clock. I've got to be ready at 8 o'clock sort of thing. And just being around other people in a race, not having the full control. Like in a session, you can control it. You know, you can control the pace. And if someone makes a move, you know, in a race, you've got to learn to react. And you don't get that in sessions. You know, you can train in groups. It's great. But it's still different when you toe the line in a race and getting those butterflies again. Yeah, it's low key, but it's still going to feel different to a session. And I think there's a lot to be said for you know, particularly in track racing, you need a few. You know, if you're doing a 5K in Feb March, you need a few under the belt. And whether you use some people can use even park runs just to get themselves going into that race mode.
No, it'll be good. I'm looking forward to it. And even like say it's low key, and with the BATS guys, believe me, when we get out there and race, we still want to beat one another. So, that's sort of friendly competitiveness. But no, it'd be good. I'm really looking forward to it. Sort of seeing some of the photos from the first run that they had last week, it looked awesome. So, yeah, looking forward to jumping in and, yeah, just testing myself. It'll be, you know, I'm hoping it's going to be pretty warm as well, just to really sort of get uncomfortable. And I suppose, you know, I'm lucky in a sense, whilst the early starts don't look all that glamorous, you do get the best weather of the day more often than not early in the morning. So, yeah, it'd be good given that all my racing over summer is going to be in the evening. So this would be a good one to try and get the body used to it a bit as well.
Yeah, and even just getting used, you know, the night before, I know, you know, getting your sleep and, you know, just preparing so you're ready to go come race day. Mate, looking forward to it. Hey, we've got a man that you might have to get a few tips off, a man who's waiting in the lobby here, Coach Jack Davies, who's runs pretty fast track times back in the day. I reckon he's run a low 8 minute 3K. So I reckon he'd know a bit about how to slice up a 3K, but let's let him in and have a chat about marathoning.
Yeah.
Moved off from the track and he's onto the road. So let's get him in for a chat.
Let's get him. The man's got range now. Looking forward to this.
Joining us back on the Better With Running podcast is Coach Jack Davies, fresh off his Melbourne Marathon debut, coming up off the track, cross country, onto the roads. I know he's done pretty well over the 10K. We were just talking off air, Chris. I think he's a 29:15 type operator we're talking to, but moved to the marathon of late. And we're going to get a bit of a breakdown on the race, but also some an update on your coaching. Welcome to the show, mate.
Thanks, Zaka. Thanks, Chris, for having me. It's good to be back on.
It is, mate. We were just saying before that you had the co-hosting duties with Josh a little while ago.
Yeah, that's right. That would have been the early days of Better With Running, but no, it's good to be back on as more of a guest, I guess. We'll see how we go.
Mate, your marathon debut, it's a lot of people I know, you were still sort of semi-active on Strava for a bit there, and then we start to see some Ks pop up and some sessions in there, and I thought, yeah, there's something brewing in the background. And I don't know if there was an official announcement, there wasn't a press conference about you lining up for the Melbourne Marathon, but it was certainly exciting when we did hear that you were going around. How did you find the training? Like, from a guy who was super fast on the track, did a lot of shorter workouts, moving to the marathon and that kind of training, how did you find it?
Yeah, look, as you already touched on, I guess, the focus in my running has probably changed since the last time we sort of spoke. You mentioned I was on the track and cross country as a junior and into my early 20s. The marathon is something that, you know, I always wanted to do and give a good crack at. But I guess, you know, over the past few years, my career has sort of taken over a bit, and running in a way with some injuries as well, took a little bit of a backseat. And then, yeah, about a year ago, I thought, oh, yeah, I just want to sort of get a marathon done, see how we go, sort of build off that first one. So it's nice to do one in Melbourne, my hometown, and get that done. And I guess we'll go into it a bit further, but I really loved the experience.
Have you noticed, I know in the coaching space, we've seen obviously a lot of athletes gearing up towards a marathon, and we've seen record numbers, Sydney, Melbourne. Was that also a catalyst for you, seeing all these people, a bit of FOMO, all these people going out to a marathon, thought, no, I want to be part of this?
Yeah, like, I think that definitely played a part. Like, obviously, been running since I was a kid, and it's I always had in the back of my mind, I'll do a marathon one day, and sort of that was always the ultimate goal. But, yeah, obviously coaching people towards a marathon, there's just that little bit more of an excitement around that event. Definitely probably swayed me to commit and, you know, enter and do the training leading up towards it. So, yeah, and as you mentioned, record numbers this year, last month at Melbourne.
Jack, there's going to be people that sit back and go, oh, Jack's a low 29 runner for 10K, 240 or sub 245 for the marathon. That just must have felt like a jog for him. But mate, how you've got your own challenges yourself with your type 1 diabetes. How did that factor into all of your training? And for yourself, what was the physical challenge like going from, I guess, a 10K prep to all the way up to a marathon?
Yeah, I guess that was a big part of my prep for Melbourne. So obviously, some people might know, but some people might not. In 2018, yeah, I got diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. And it sort of poses a few challenges that we'll go into in working out the training, I guess, and essentially getting your body right to sort of be out running for 2.5-3 hours, sort of hard running without any complications. It was definitely something I had to factor into my preparation. If you want me to, I can just sort of give a brief rundown of what type 1 diabetes is, and if
yes,
anyone
please.
Doesn't know.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah. So I guess to put it simply, there's two different types of diabetes. There's type 1 and there's type 2. So type 1 is what I have. Essentially, it's an autoimmune condition that attacks the some cells in your pancreas that produce insulin. So essentially, I don't produce any insulin myself. That can cause issues because insulin transports glucose into your muscles and uses that for energy. So someone without type 1 diabetes, when they eat food, all the glucose and energy gets transported into their muscles ready for use. Whereas I have to inject insulin myself in order to maintain normal blood glucose levels and sort of operate at normal blood glucose levels to have the appropriate amount of energy when I'm running. That was diagnosed in 2018, and that was a big part of a big challenge, I guess, in training in order to try and manage my glucose levels throughout a marathon prep.
And we might want to mention that you're also a qualified nurse,
yep.
paramedic.
Yep.
And you still working at Royal Melbourne Hospital?
Yeah, that's right. So I'm working at Royal Melbourne in intensive care. So when I did get diagnosed with type 1, I was quite fortunate to have quite an understanding of how the condition works and how managing it from day to day would look like. Yeah.
For yourself with your long runs and your sessions and that sort of thing, what changes did you have to make as the runs got longer and longer? I imagine that would put quite a lot more strain on the body in terms of trying to manage that sort of glycogen levels for you, mate.
Yeah, there was a bit of process and a bit of trial of elimination in preparation. So obviously you're out there for longer, burning more energy on the long runs. So it is a bit more difficult to try and keep my blood sugars at a normal level. So when I was preparing for the marathon, I had to try a few different types of gels to see how my body would respond to those. I had to sort of time my insulin doses around my training. I ended up finding that running first thing in the morning after waking up was quite beneficial for me, and I was quite lucky that the race was obviously at 7 a.m. so that helped. And I wear a sensor on my hip that monitors my blood glucose continuously, and I've worked out how to get that reading on my Garmin, so when I'm running I can just see that in real time, which made the training and preparation for the marathon a bit easier. So a few years ago, I wouldn't have been able to do that. So, technology helps helped me with that a lot.
Finally, a Garmin feature that's actually useful.
Yeah, I know. It's I downloaded the data field off the Garmin IQ, and right next to my pace and the time and everything, I can see my blood glucose level, which is very helpful.
Yeah. That's really cool.
Hmm. Yeah.
And your build up in terms of Ks, because if you look at it, you're pretty low on the mileage. Is that just a factor of time managing the your health wise, or how did you sort of manage going off a low mileage?
Yeah. So I was probably only about 40 to 50 Ks a week, which does seem quite low. As I mentioned before, one of my main focuses was to, I guess, prove to myself that I could get through a marathon with the condition that I've got. So I was mainly doing a long run each week that was progressing in distance up towards the marathon. I'd ideally do one session, then just a couple of jogs. Now that I do know that I can get through it with no issue, and I've done it and I'll be better for this experience in the future, hopefully be able to increase that a bit for the next one. But I felt like I did a few solid long runs leading in. So the distance, although it was low Ks per week, I handled it quite well.
And you enjoyed getting back into like that training mode of even, I know there was a sort of sessions involved in some of those long runs. Like, did you get a bit of that fire in the belly when you were doing these longer runs?
Yeah, definitely. Those long runs with sort of a session built into the back half, I felt like I was quite good at that. And over the years, I always sort of knew that I'd be, you know, the way that I run and my strengths probably leading towards that longer stuff. So, yeah, I really did get a lot of enjoyment out of that.
How was race day for you? Because I can imagine, going in, you know your stuff really well, and heading into race day, sort of stepping into that unknown, did you have confidence in yourself and in your body that you'd run quite strongly that day, or was it really just a case of shit, let's just go find out what's going to happen?
Yeah, I had a fair bit of confidence going into race day. In the build up, I did run a couple of half marathons, and obviously was building on my long run from week to week. And as I mentioned before, a bit of trial and error with a few different types of gels and some insulin dosing. By the time I did get to race day, I was quite confident in my plan to sort of get through the race okay. So obviously was a bit nervous leading in, and first marathon, as you guys are aware, there is a bit of unknown, especially heading from 30K onwards. You hear some horror stories from people. So that was in the back of my mind a little bit. But going into the race, I was quite confident with my plan.
And how did the race all pan out, mate? Like, was it everything that you thought it might be, or were there aspects of the marathon that surprised you?
Yeah, so the race itself, so just to preface this, my plan was, or my aim was, around to run around 240 to 245. There was a bit of a loose sort of, you know, a 5-minute window because I wasn't quite sure how I would go being the first one. But yeah, I just took off on that pace. So I think it was around 350s per K going down St. Kilda Road. Was running with a few other guys and they were also going for a 240. So we formed a bit of a pack, which was quite good. The race itself, it actually went quite quick, to be honest. I managed to turn my brain off a bit and just sit in the pack and just tick away at the Ks, and did that until about 35K. Then I started to struggle a bit going up the back of the tan. Had a few issues with a little bit of cramping going up the hill. So I had to find myself slowing down just to sort of keep the cramps at bay. And each time I'd try and increase the pace back up, I'd start to feel the cramp coming on again. So felt like that last 6K went for a while, just trying to hold the cramps at bay and just get to the MCG.
Well, coming from like, you know, to what, had you done a half before? Had you gone out to 15K maybe at Ballarat? Was that your longest road race?
Yeah. I did Gold Coast half last year. And then this year I ran Run Melbourne half and Sandy Point half as well in the build-up. So, and Sandy Point was the most recent one before the marathon and finished that feeling quite comfortable, felt, which gave me a bit of confidence. But yeah, as you know, from 35K onwards, yeah, you're sort of in that unknown on your first marathon. So luckily the cramps didn't like force me to stop or, you know, stop and have a stretch or anything. I was able to keep running the whole time, just had to slow down a bit in that last 6K.
Mate, it must give you some really good insights as a coach now. You know, we're working with marathoners and, yeah, this just complete, you know, going and going through the process, through the build-up, race day nerves, nutrition, and then actually hitting the race. I guess now, yeah, as a coach, you can sort of, I guess it must be exciting to be on that page as well with your athletes.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, I'd had a few athletes run marathons in the past, and I felt like I had a decent idea of, you know, the preparation, the race planning, and what sort of goes into all of that. But definitely going through the experience of running Melbourne and sort of experience that myself, I feel more equipped with sort of that experience to be able to provide better sort of coaching around the experience and how to go about it. So that will be helpful for sure.
Hey, just a quick one back on, sorry, Chris, just back on the race day. Just want to talk about getting into the MCG. Like, it's pretty iconic place to finish a marathon. And obviously this marathon was, it was really potentially an emotional thing for you, like having to endure what you have and then to be back going and building up for a marathon and completing a goal. How was it that last 300 odd meters into the MCG?
Yeah, it was pretty special. It's funny you say that because I actually did get quite emotional going around that 300 meters on the MCG. Sort of, you do all the preparation and the training, and with the added challenges of trying to manage my type 1 diabetes, you know, for the previous 12, 16 weeks with the training, sort of get to the MCG and, you know you're going to make the finish line then. And mum and dad were in the crowd, and my partner, she just ran the 10K, so she was there as well. So sort of just, it all sort of came across me and felt quite emotional and crossed the line. And yeah, it was really good feeling, I guess. It was, you know, there's something about the marathon finish line, isn't there? But yeah, found that quite special.
Is it something that's bitten you now, mate, and you've sort of got the next marathon penciled in, or are you sort of just going through recovery at the moment and see how the body's feeling before you sort of look too far ahead?
Yeah, I can say now, Chris, I'll definitely be doing some more marathons in the future. I was a bit sore for a couple of days afterwards, but surprisingly felt okay by sort of the Wednesday night, Thursday. And I took a couple of weeks off. Now I've just been jogging around for a week or so. But I'll definitely have a look at the calendar, see which marathon's next. Yeah, definitely.
Maybe an overseas trip, mate?
Well, like I was speaking to someone at work the other day, to be honest, and he's trying to get all the world marathon majors ticked off. That sounds like a pretty cool thing to try and achieve, you know, a bit of travel, do a few for the best marathons in the world. So I might do another one in Australia next year, maybe Ballarat Marathon, maybe Melbourne again. And then I've got my half an eye on Tokyo in 2025 because I'd love to go to Japan.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Yeah, plenty ahead, mate. That's exciting. Hey, just shifting gears onto your coaching.
Yep.
I know in now Around the Ground segment, a number of your athletes come up. We actually had Nathan Compton on last week. He was mate, popular guest. We've had a lot of messages of people just saying how inspired they were from Nathan's achievements. And obviously his health challenges. And another guy we mentioned last week was Freddie Roux, who's based over in England. He had a big PB over the 10K, around 34 minutes. So just there's a couple of your athletes, but maybe at Melbourne, how did some of your guys go?
Yeah, so, as you touched on, Nathan, to be fair, he was my only athlete running at Melbourne. And as everyone heard last week, he's had an outstanding year on the back of an amazing story with his health challenges. He's run a PB in every event this year, and then a very solid Melbourne Mara last month in 3:34. So he's been going really well, and I look forward to what he can do in the future. Freddie over in London, he's had a few injury troubles, but I think we've finally found a sweet spot for his training, just altering a few things here and there. And yeah, as you mentioned, 34-minute 10K last week, so he's on the right track to running a few more PBs. And then I guess Sapreeth as well. I've been coaching him for a few years. He's over in Portland in the US. And he's just starting his marathon build for Houston in January. So yeah, I've got a good mix of a few athletes I've had for a while, a few years, and I've also got a few new ones as well, which is an exciting exciting time, I guess. A lot of them are looking towards a marathon in the new year, so always happy to and excited to have them on board to work towards their marathon goals.
For yourself, mate, what have been some of your learnings as a coach over the last couple of years?
Yeah, I guess, you know, as I just briefly touched on with Freddie, one approach doesn't fit everyone. It's probably been one of the main learnings, sort of just taking that time to, you know, understand the individual and their needs and sort of how they best respond to certain types of training. Yeah.
And even with athletes, maybe type 1 diabetes athletes, are you getting any messages, or is that something you'd be open to chatting to about with other athletes? Because I gather you're obviously working in that space and your own training. But yeah, is that something you're entertaining at the moment?
Yeah, definitely. That'd be something I'd really love to do, to be honest. Anyone with type 1 diabetes that, you know, wants to work towards any running goals, I feel like I'm quite well equipped in, you know, my nursing and paramedic background, plus having the condition myself and working towards the marathon. Yeah, that would be amazing to sort of help people in that situation.
Is there a perception out there around that in type 1 diabetes, exercise, the challenges that it comes with, and that many people might shy away from it?
Yeah, so I think there is a bit of a perception about it. I remember when I first got diagnosed, you sort of get briefed on how best to manage certain situations, and they always do touch on exercise. Obviously, or maybe not obviously, but there is a risk that your blood sugar might go too low when you are exercising. You're obviously burning more energy, so yeah, your blood sugar stores can go down. So they always sort of tell you to exercise with caution. But I guess if you manage it appropriately, you definitely can sort of find that sweet spot and sort of push through that. Obviously, being careful through the process, but I'd be happy, really happy to help people to sort of find what works for them in regards to that.
For yourself, Jack, was that a lot of trial and error? Or was there any like really bad days where you thought, oh my God, this is just the worst? Or were you sort of fortunate enough to be able to sort of fine tune things without sort of having too many sort of shockers, so to speak?
Yeah, one story I guess that I can touch on was at Run Melbourne this year. So I was just trialing some insulin doses. So insulin is the medication I have to give myself each day, and that sort of keeps your blood sugars at a normal level if used appropriately. But if you have that before you're running, the chances that your blood sugar is going to go lower are much higher. So I was just trialing a few things, and then the morning of the Run Melbourne half marathon, that would have been about June-ish, I had reduced my dose, but it wasn't quite enough. So halfway through the race, I could see on my watch my blood sugar was going down. If you sort of get to and the normal range is 4 to 8. If you sort of get below 4, you start to become a bit lightheaded, a bit shaky, a bit sweaty. And then if it gets really, really low, you can end up passing out. So I was about 10K in and saw my watch and I started going down. And, you know, obviously gels have carbohydrate and sugars in them. So smashed a few gels, which in a way isn't a good thing either if you have too much at once for your stomach. So there's that issue as well. But it still kept going down. I was quite fortunate that my partner, she has it set up on her phone that she can see my blood sugars as well. And she was just on the sidelines supporting. She saw what my blood sugar was doing. And luckily she had like a few you know, Alan's snakes in her backpack and passed them to me as I was running past. So that was a bit of a near miss, I guess. And thankful that she was there to sort of hand them over, and I made it to the line without going too low with my blood sugar. So that was, I guess, quite important in the process of working towards Melbourne, that then I knew that that insulin dose was a little bit too much, so I could fine tune things, you know, leading into the next training session, the next race, and then I ultimately the marathon.
How good is that? I mean, mate, just that to have that app, won't it? Which is, yeah, that's amazing. Just the feedback that you're able to get from that, and probably also even for yourself, just back up the way that you're feeling as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point, Chris, because, you know, a few years ago, the way that people measured their blood sugar was via a little finger prick in their finger, and it would give you a little bit of blood, and you have to put that into a machine, and it just tells you the reading, you know, there and then. And people used to just manage it, test their sugar maybe 6 to 10 times per day. So these new sensors that you can wear and, you know, feed straight to your phone, straight to your watch, and gives you real-time glucose levels is extremely helpful for something such as training for a marathon or running.
Much, much more convenient during a race too, I'd imagine.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. You don't have to stop. That's one thing. Yeah, very good.
Hey, just moving on quickly before we move into the questions from Chris O. I know he's fired up to throw down the quick questions, but I know you're a big fan of Australian distance running and seeing Melbourne Marathon in full flight, and yeah, the road running just at its, you know, all-time high really in Australia. What's been exciting you know, and I guess coming into the summer season, we've got the Maury Plant Meet coming, and some from a fan's perspective, you're staying in touch with it all, and what are you enjoying seeing?
Yeah, definitely staying in touch. Staying in touch with it all and keeping across the results and things like that. You mentioned there, Melbourne had the highest participant number ever. And to see Reece Edwards win that was amazing, really. Looking forward to the summer, I guess. It'd be good to see how Brett Robinson goes at Fukuoka again. Obviously, he broke the Australian record there last year, so it'd be interesting to see how he goes for the second time around. And yeah, as you mentioned, the track stuff, obviously the Adapex coming up as well. Jack Rain is running that, so that'd be good to see how he goes. And another one that I'm sort of keeping an eye on is Ryan Gregson. Obviously he ran Melbourne in his debut marathon, and it'd be interesting to keep an eye on him to see how he goes in future marathons. I think he's going to do another.
Yeah, all sort of former teammates of yours over the journey, mate. And yeah, Gregson's debut was impressive, and looks like he's really locked in and honing in on the marathon. So, you know his intensity he brings and how, you know, driven he is. I think there is some things ahead for him. I wouldn't be surprised if he drops a big marathon over the next few years.
Yeah, definitely. It's exciting. He's it's a very different event to what he's, you know, what he'd had been focusing on for years. So, and I think he really enjoys the marathon stuff. So, good on him. And yeah, it'd be good to see how he goes in his second marathon.
The chance for Ryan and Jen to pull the Stevens colours on for cross country next year, maybe, mate.
Gee, that'd be all right, wouldn't it?
I think they were Glenn Huntley when they were here.
Yeah, they were. But they're both going really well at the moment. It's exciting to see Jen sort of, you know, win all these races, and be interesting to see how she goes. And she's obviously building up for a marathon now. So, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, the next month's going to be pretty cool with these marathons dropping and everyone sort of putting their cards on the table for Paris. And then there'll probably be, yeah, earlier in the year, other people having cracks, second cracks, and yeah, that's going to be really interesting to follow. Our man Andy Buchanan putting his hat in the ring as well.
Yeah, Andy, he's up at Falls Creek, I think.
He would have spent a few years up at Falls with Andy, a few Mount McKay runs.
Yeah, yeah. Andy. Yep, he was always a bit older than me, so he tried to tell me what to do at times. but no, he's got some good advice, and yeah, it'd be good to see how he goes in his marathon.
Chris, I reckon it's time to put him under the torch. Some quick questions.
I reckon it is. Got a couple, hopefully. There's some easy ones. We always start with a few layups, mate. A few easy ones before we rip into the curly ones. You mentioned your watch before, your Garmin. What sort of Garmin have you got?
I've got the Garmin Forerunner 945, actually.
Oh, that's a nice bit of kit.
No, I'm enjoying it.
Now, was that a special purchase for the marathon, or have you had it for a while?
I've probably had it a few months, but it was only because my old one, had done its time and it started to not be as reliable. It was the old Garmin Forerunner 245 Music. So,
yes.
Thought I'd better upgrade, but the 945 is going well.
That's right. Those people, it is early November. It's coming towards Christmas. Put it on the do recommend list for Christmas for people who might be after a new watch.
Yeah, definitely.
Good stuff. We'll see if we can work on that Garmin sponsorship, but we're still chipping away. Hey, phones, iPhone or Android?
iPhone. Good man. Yeah, no question there, really.
No. Poor Zachary is
the only person in the world, apparently, with an Android.
Anyone who has when you're texting on an iPhone, if you're texting iPhone to iPhone, you see the blue message come up, iMessage. Yeah. Anyone that comes up with the green message, you're thinking, what are you doing? Okay, come on, Zaka.
Hey, cats or dogs?
Dogs, I think. We've got a dog here, but I think I'm going to get a cat soon as well. So we'll might even it up. But for the moment, I'll say dogs.
Yeah, okay.
Dogs seem to feature in Strava a bit. Puppy? No, new dog.
Yeah. She's nearly 2 years old. Her name's Gloria, and she's a Springer Spaniel. Definitely loves getting out for a 6K to 8K.
Hey, Gloria, getting some K's in.
Yeah, she's probably doing about, I reckon, 9 or 10 K's on my 6K run because she's zigzagging all over the place. So I'd normally take her to Princess Park, let her off the lead.
Oh, yeah.
She just sort of follows me around on the ovals and, clocks up the Ks. So, very good.
So, did you roll 4:30s with Gloria?
Yep.
September. Yeah, I'm just looking at one of your runs. It says it easy with Gloria. I was thinking, who's Gloria now?
I reckon if we really tested her, she could probably dip under 4 minute Ks, I reckon. She's pretty fit.
Okay. Glorious fit. She getting ready for wellness run or anything else on the plan?
Look, if I signed her up, she'd be keen. Like, she's always ready to go.
Watch this space. Will Gloria get her own Strava account?
Ooh, that's a good. I don't know how we'd track her runs though. Maybe Garmin needs to do a dog collar or something.
Have a chat to Piercy about it. Nathan Pierce over at Garmin. He might be able to bring that to the table on a Monday morning as a new idea.
I think that that'd sell pretty well, to be honest. Yeah. A lot of people would be keen to track their dog's K's.
That would sell. I actually reckon it genuinely would. And people comparing top paces and all that sort of thing. Watch this space, and you might have just started something there. Now, I actually want to go back to your gels. And you mentioned you had, there's a lot of stuff that you had to try, but what was the gel that you settled on for marathon day?
I settled on the Precision, Precision gels. I got recommended them by someone only for the reason that they were quite easy to open while you're running. and they've got a nice,
you got a pouch?
They've got they've got a feature when you pull the top off, it is still connected to the gel, so you don't have this little piece of plastic that probably most often ends up on the ground. Mm. So yeah, you open them up, it sticks on there, so you have no real waste. And I just also liked the texture and flavor of them. They had good amount of carbs and things like that. So I went with the Precisions.
That's right. What flavor?
I think they were a lemon and something. Yeah, a bit of citrus flavour, which went down quite well. So, yeah.
How many did you knock off in the marathon?
I knocked off 7. So it was 7 gels, once every 25, 30 minutes. Mainly, keeping the blood sugar stable. Obviously, also providing the fueling benefit as well. So it was a bit of a 2-for-1 there.
You carry them all?
I carried about 3 or 4, and then had someone on the course give me, the rest.
Yeah. Well played.
Yeah.
You mentioned Tokyo as a bit of a goal race, maybe in 2025. If you could choose any race in the world, though, would it be Tokyo, or is there another one that you'd want to go and do? If you had the choice.
Well, New York was on the weekend.
Yeah.
Saw some nice photos and content in regards to that course. So I've been to New York once, and running around Central Park's pretty cool. But doing the marathon there would be something else, I think. Looks like a nice course. I've heard it's quite a challenging course. But it'd be good to get over to New York, I think.
Yeah, the atmosphere looked incredible.
Yeah.
On the weekend.
About 50,000 odd there, wasn't it?
About 50,000. So about 5 times the Melbourne, the Melbourne event. And it's hard to imagine, really, 50,000 people.
Yeah, crazy. Yeah.
With your running, mate, do you prefer to run alone, with a friend, a group, or with Gloria?
I just touched on Gloria. I probably can only run with her once every couple of weeks because she's pretty quick, and she's not the best on the lead. Once she's off the lead, she's fine, but a bit limited on the course. Look, to be honest, I do like running alone. So, I don't know, something about running that's sort of, you can just switch off from, your normal day-to-day life, work, such and such, get out and have that sort of hour or so just sort of to switch off and have that time to yourself. So I'd probably say running alone, I probably prefer, but definitely wouldn't ever say no if a mate or someone hit you up for a run.
You find running to be a good de-stressor from work?
Yeah, 100%. Obviously, there's all the studies and that show that's good for your mental health, and I definitely agree with that. So, just has that, time to switch off and all of the hormones and stuff that gets released on your runs, it just makes you feel good. So, yeah.
I can imagine in your job, Jack, you mentioned about working in intensive care, like it's pretty high stress environment, pretty long days, pretty draining, I guess physically as well as just what you're seeing, I guess, come through. Like, I can't even imagine, I'm in an office walking around pretending to look busy half the time, but you're actually doing something that's just, people's lives are literally in your hands. It's just, it'd be so full on to then, to come out and then go for a run and just to switch off, I guess, must be huge for you.
Yeah. Well, obviously there's, some quite, there's some challenging days that comes with that job. So keeping on top of your mental health and having those strategies in order to, process what you've seen or, a hard day at work, is very important. And I think running plays a big part in that.
Yeah. For yourself, mate, favorite running sock, what's your go-to?
Probably Steigen. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have a color?
Depends what the shoe is, I think.
Oh, yes. Now I like this. Do we try and go with a full color match, or do we sort of like highlight some of the lesser colors in the shoe or the sock? Or like, is there a bit of a method to the madness?
Well, for Melbourne, I went the color match. So, and thought that wasn't too bad. So, Yeah.
We didn't see it. Did we see a flat layer or anything pre-Melbourne? I reckon you kept it all pretty low-key, mate. But something did make your grid. And it was, it's over 300-odd likes on your Instagram, man, just looking at it. And you had the black kit with the white socks. Yep, very fresh.
Yeah, white socks with the white shoes, and had the whole kit. So
all
no,
Nike as well.
That, yeah,
hat, everything, but repping the swoosh. should be getting some a little bit of payment for that one.
Yeah, no, I was no flat lay, but yeah, I definitely thought about the kit leading in.
Very good. We like it when it all goes together, mate. It's always worth at least 5% out on course. You can have your 4% shoes, but a good kit's worth at least 5%, we reckon. So
yeah, I agree with that, Chris.
That look good, feel good. We've embraced that, haven't we, Zach? Well, we're still working on Zach.
Yeah, but you can't.
Shoes. This is what I'm super interested in, this, mate. Eat for easy days and for race day. What did you go with?
So easy day is Hoka Clifton. I've been in them for a few years, and have found them to be quite good. So definitely Hoka Clifton for easy days. Race day, I wore the Vaporfly. Nike Vaporflies.
What were you using in the 36, like 32, 36K long runs?
Yeah, just the Hoka.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so race day, you wouldn't have, I mean, you wore the Vapors, but like in terms of build-up in your sessions, did you use them much in sessions? Like, I know you did the long runs, but...
Yeah, not really. I ran in the Vape Flies in both half marathons. I'd train in the old, a few years ago, I used to train in the, 4%, next percents. So sort of knew what they were all about. And then, yeah, just bought the new, the white Vapor Flies and wore them for both of the halves and then the marathon. So I had no issues. Yeah, I found them to be quite good.
Is there any super shoes that you've put on and just thought, these aren't for me?
To be honest, I haven't, but I haven't really tried too many. I'm not a real well versed in sort of trying any of the different super shoes, and maybe something I'd have to look into in the next build up.
It'd be a nice problem to have, just to have a wide variety of super shoes to be able to roll through and go, I don't know.
Yeah, I have to duck down to the running company or something and just try them all on. Go for a run on the treadmill. We'll see.
Is it sort of, harking back to your days when you were running, a lot of K's up at Falls Creek, you were on the track, you were doing road racing, but I guess super shoes, it was sort of pre-super shoes. There wasn't just this big push for, people have got five pairs of shoes in a week. Like, they're one day, one's there for the easy, one for their Wednesday run, recovery, race shoe, training shoe. Like, were you back then, you just had your flats and your easy days, and you really... Now you're sort of seeing this rise of, the innovation that there is all these different options. Is it sort of overwhelming for you?
Oh, I like to keep it pretty simple, to be honest. you're right. Back in the day, I sort of just had, the jogging shoes, the flats. Obviously, you have spikes if you're on the track. These days, you're right, there is a bit more discussion about different types of runners for certain things, but I haven't sort of bought too much into that yet. I can see the utility for some lightweight runners for some short runs during the week and things like that, but I like to keep it pretty simple.
No, last one from me, mate. If you had to eat one meal for the rest of your life, what would you choose?
Ooh, one meal for the rest of my life.
Breakfast, lunch, dinner, the lot.
You have to eat the same thing for 3 meals.
Yep.
Same thing.
All day, every day.
Yeah, right. What have I had good that's good recently? I did have a very nice steak the other day, but I don't know how I'd go eating that for breakfast. We'll go with that. We went to a pub around the corner and had a really good porterhouse steak.
Yum.
Nice roast veggies on the side. So I'll go with that.
No, good choice. I think porterhouse has got the best flavour.
Yeah.
Steaks.
Yeah. It was very good.
What's the You rolling with a sauce? What's the sauce you rolling with?
The red wine, Jew.
Oh, red wine, eh?
Mm, classy. I like it.
Yeah. Look, if I'm going to be eating it for every meal for the rest of my life, it has to be the classy sauce.
Yeah. Nah, that's all right. I reckon I'd let you change the sauce every now and then.
But oh, that'd be all right.
Yeah, just to mix it up. But no, look, steak's versatile because, I mean, yeah, it can be a main meal, but lunch could be a steak sandwich.
That's true.
Yeah. Breakfast, I'm really clutching options there. I'm not
put
sure.
Put in the blender, mate. Put in the blender. Is that what the bodybuilders do?
Look, steak for breakfast was all the rage probably back in the 70s and 80s before 40. So, look, it's probably been done. Yeah, steak and eggs.
Mm.
Yeah,
no, we'll I like make it work.
Yeah.
Oh, mate, it's been great catching up. It's really, you know, it was awesome to see you cross that line. I know, like we touched on earlier, just that seeing that build up, seeing you running a bit more, and then to see you go out there and put a marathon on the board. Yeah, really cool. And you've got a lot of insights now for, you know, other people in your, you know, in your boat, as well as your athletes, I guess, now going forward from a coaching perspective. And no, we really appreciate you jumping on for a chat.
Thanks so much for having me, Zacha, Chris. It's been great.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks, mate. That was a fun chat and informative from Jack. It was really good to get, obviously, some more details around that type 1 diabetes because, yeah, over our heads in terms of being able to explain it, but then to get his perspective as someone who's going through it and in the game and out there running with it, it's very cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, if there is anyone out there that does have diabetes and they sort of haven't necessarily had the confidence to go and run, hopefully that's helped a little bit just to show what is possible. So yeah, no, it was cool. It was always good to catch up with Jack.
Is well, mate, we've had a few messages around world record chat. I know we've had a couple of big episodes off the back of Melbourne and we had multiple guests, but we have got it back this week and we've actually had to go back through the archives because we did have this across our desk and we did let things get in the way, but I think we need to mention it because it was quite timely. It was quite, I guess, apt that in Canada, obviously Canadian Running Magazine is where the home of world records, I would say, and the home of our our source of content every week when we bring up world record chat. But when they had, this was back in October, so was it the weekend of Melbourne Marathon? Might have been the weekend after they had the Toronto Waterfront Marathon. And obviously being in Canada, you would think that there'd be a lot of world records attempts going on. And there was 20 world record attempts going on in that race, all trying to get some airtime on Canadian running, I assume. I think there was even, mate, there was the fastest half marathon in a 5-person costume. Yeah, so that went down to, there was the quickest half marathon by a female dressed as a crustacean.
Crustacean. I think that's a crab for those people playing at home. But mate, there's one impressive attempt from Maria Babineau, and this is an absolute slam dunk. So Maria is a school teacher and she's run the marathon. And mind you, this isn't just some 2-bit marathon. The Toronto Waterfront Marathon, Jess Stenson's run this one and run very well. I think at the time may have set a PB for herself over there. But Maria Babineau, she's absolutely excelled here, mate. She's run a 3:57. So gone sub-4 and done it all the while, dribbling a basketball the whole way. And mate, in style too, because both hands were used, just very fluent. There was no carrying. So
Well, that's the thing. When you did bring this one up, I thought, Chris, oh yeah, dribbling a basketball for nearly 4 hours whilst running a marathon. You know, it's surely you're not. There's a few instances where you're not bouncing the ball, or you can just take a few shortcuts or double dribble, whatever. But she's gone and done it and put the GoPro on her chest so you can actually see every for the whole 4 hours. You watched it today, didn't you, Chris? You watched just the whole three hours.
Did have it on 10 times speed. But could you imagine being the person from Guinness who has to actually sit there and analyze that GoPro footage to make sure that she has bounced the ball for the whole way?
Yeah, I reckon I did what you did, Chris.
That's fine. Well done. On to the next one. But we did reach out to Maria for a couple of quotes, and she said, during the marathon, there were points of the race where my arms were cramping a little. The cheering of the spectators and positive comments from all the runners around me are what helped get me through it. I'm just trying to think, like, because she has to be dribbling it the whole time. Like, we got one hand's bouncing a basketball and the other one's trying to get some fluids in with the drinks, or they're trying to rip a gel and get that open. Like, just the coordination to do that. Like, we've all experienced runner's fatigue and what that does to the brain. So what those last 10 or 12 kilometers were like must have been absolutely horrible from a nutrition standpoint. But
apparently a few dogs tried to steal the basketball.
Apparently it only put about 7 weeks of training into this too, which I think is taking the piss a little bit. It's 7 weeks of work and off we swindle a world record. But did have some dogs, but also had to practice wearing a GoPro on the chest to record the attempt as well. Must be said that Guinness is still reviewing. But
watching.
Yeah, because if you would have to slow down and actually analyze it, you know, has she carried it or has she not? But like most world records that we do like to bring up, Maria did run in support of a charity. She does volunteer for Ronald McDonald House in Ottawa. And her goal was to raise $1,000 Canadian, which I'm not sure what that converts to Aussie dollars, given that interest rates have just gone up again, sadly. But she wants to buy an adjustable basketball net so families can play together. And for those that are unaware, Ronald McDonald House provides a home for families with sick children. So
actually, it's a school teacher as well.
Yes.
So that's pretty cool flex from a teacher to say you've been able to dribble a basketball for a marathon for 4 hours.
Yeah. I also donated her own money as well. So she donated $1 for every kilometer that she ran as part of training. I think that's always pretty cool when you see someone that's, you know, obviously, yes, asking for money from other people, but also dipping into her own funds as well. Just as, you know, she really is something that she believes in.
Took the record off Marinella over in Italy, who previously had done 4 hours 28. So put 20, probably 30 minutes into it. But have to get back out in the court and train Marinella to get that record back. But the guys won so if you're inspired by this, Chris Owen, maybe you want to get the Air Jordans back out on the court and start practicing. You're going to have to go 250. Ooh. Yeah, it's fast.
Stefan Reimer, I believe. Yeah.
Stefan, it's gone 250. Jeez, that is moving.
That's swift. My PB is not much quicker than that. So I'd actually have to get into the shape of my life. The Air Jordans are definitely going to need the Alpha Fly treatment with some AirPods pumped into the middle, I think. Yeah, and it's one thing to jump like Mike, but yeah, I just want to be able to run like Elliot if I'm gonna go and push out a 249 while bouncing. There's another basketball.
Canadian as well, so it turns out, that seems to be their thing. Reckons he did it. He started thinking about it during lockdown, so he must have been pretty bored. he's run 236. So, yeah, you'd think if you run 250 with the basketball, you'd probably go a bit quicker without one. The 236 is solid, but I reckon he's probably a bit more in the tank.
Find a flat course off to Berlin. You know, I know a friend of the show, that Pineapple Man, loves a flat course. Easy to, to balance the old pineapple on top of the head. So, yeah, maybe that's Stefan. See if he can go sub 250 or
Hey mate, before we wrap the show up, there was another. We didn't have a ground the grounds, but there was a result that came across our desk from our man down in Tassie. Paul Reason competed in the Tasmanian AeroPress Championships, rocking the, is it a fractal hat?
I believe so.
Yeah.
It's very stylish.
Very stylish look. If you jump on Paul Reason's Instagram, you can see him in action at the AeroPress Championships. So he's just making up a coffee on the stage post, or it was post session. Yeah. Big shout out to Paul. I know he loves a shout out, but he's gone to another level here with this post.
He has. Did have some news that Paul, very committed, did complete his session early in the morning and still had half his run kit on when he went and competed at the AeroPress Championships, and did quite well as well by all reports. So
PB
in the AeroPress. I'm not sure what's involved with that because I'm not a huge coffee person, but no, by all reports, handled himself very well, and looking forward to seeing what's next for the great man.
Sure, you finish a run with Paul and the Sunday long run, and he definitely be mixing up a brew. It'd probably be taking 2 hours to make the brew longer than the run.
not popping it, not just stopping in for a bit of your Nescafe Blend 43 stuff. Nah. No, that's not really going to cut it with the knockoff run crew down in Tassie. So, no, I know the group were very chuffed at Paul's efforts, and they've sent that our way just to ensure that he did get a little cheeky little mention there at the end.
Well, Paul actually sent it through as well. I think he was pretty keen to get it mentioned. So
we weren't going to say that, but I believe that to be very true.
Well, on that note, mate, next week we'll be back. We've got a couple of guests lined up. It's going to be exciting to chat to them more about their running journeys. Be some results happening as well. There's been a bit happening around town, and we'll be getting closer to the wellness run.
Mate, it's not far away now, less than a month, and almost everything sold out. So
yeah, I actually think 10's out now. The 10K Brady Jason entry. That's the given entry.
Mate, it's going to be a massive weekend. Zatopek Saturday, Wellness Run Sunday, arguably. Not sure which is bigger, but it's going to be a great weekend of running in Melbourne.
It will be as we get closer to the end of the year, mate.
Nah, looking forward to it. There's never a dull moment in running. It's just like the boom. It's absolutely gone off. And we thought things were going to settle down post Melbourne, but no, it's still just as busy.
Yes. Nah, good times, mate. Well, we'll be back next week to chat all things running.
Chat soon.
Okay, mate.